U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell wraps up his visit to Beijing, meeting top Chinese leaders Jiang Zemin and Hu Jintao. The non-aligned movement members speak up for the developing world and speak out of their opposition to war in Iraq. 257 people are killed in an earthquake in northwest China's Xinjiang. At least 1,000 others are injured. And a new bank chief is named for Japan. The new boss has his work cut out trying to stem the country's deflation problem. Hello and welcome to this edition of Worldwide Watch. I'm Dan Hui in Beijing. U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell has wrapped up his visit to Beijing following a series of talks with Chinese leaders. Much as expected, the DPRK nuclear issue and the possible war on Iraq dominated the meetings. But as Wang Xin reports, not much progress seems to have been achieved during the trip in bringing the two countries' differences on the two issues closer.
It's been a day of meetings for Colin Powell. In less than 7 hours, the U.S. Secretary of State met Chinese President Jiang Zemin, Vice President Hu Jintao, and Foreign Minister Tang Jiaxuan. Talks primarily focused on the two things racking the secretary's mind, the DPRK's nuclear posturing and the possible war on Iraq. Powell described the meetings as constructive and said there is common ground for the two countries to work on in resolving both issues.
The United States appreciates China's consistent message to the North Koreans that China joins the rest of the world community in expecting Pyongyang to comply with its obligations and its own promises with respect to nuclear weapons. The United States and China share the goal of a diplomatic and peaceful resolution to this problem.
But to a greater extent, differences still remain. Powell defended a multilateral approach to addressing the DPRK issue, while Vice President Hu Jintao told him China believes the U.S. should talk with Pyongyang directly and as soon as possible. With regard to a new U.N. resolution on Iraq, Powell has apparently failed to win China's support. Foreign Minister Tang Jiaxuan said inspectors must continue their work and that it's still too early to work on a new resolution. Secretary Powell said a draft resolution will be tabled early this week nonetheless, and that he hoped for peace, but added that a war without UN authorization is not out of the question.
And as President Bush has said all along, he reserves the right to lead a coalition of the willing to disarm Iraq if the United Nations is not willing to provide a coalition to do so.
Despite all the differences, both sides found much common ground on issues such as fighting terrorism, trade, environmental protection, and human rights. They also agreed that the closer relationship benefits not only the two countries, but the rest of the world. Much discussion has taken place during Powell's short trip to China, but neither side has so far indicated much visible progress in bridging their differences on the issues of the DPRK and Iraq. The U.S. Secretary of State's mission will continue as he winds up his Beijing visit and heads for South Korea, the last stop of his three-nation Asian tour. Wang Xin, CCTV, Beijing.
Kings and presidents from non-aligned movement countries are convening in Malaysia to show that the developing world, which makes up two-thirds of the UN, wants to tell Iraq to disarm. With Muslim countries accounting for many NAM members, the summit is likely to call for a peaceful solution to the Iraqi crisis and the respect for UN processes. Roger Kendall takes a closer look at the opening session of the summit.
Jamaica and India.
South African President Thabo Mbeki, who hosted the last non-aligned movement summit in Durban, opened this year's meeting with a call for peace, urging both Iraq and the U.S. to work with the U.N. to destroy banned weapons.
Peace and stability in our countries and in the rest of the world demands that Iraq, a long-standing member of our movement, should cooperate fully with the United Nations Security Council and the weapons inspectors to satisfy all humanity that she has no weapons of mass destruction.
Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad, host of this year's summit, warned that the world is living in fear with the prevalent war climate. He criticized those who put all the blame of terror threats squarely on Muslims adding that this has become a pretext for certain Western countries to try to dominate other cultures. He also issued a fierce condemnation of war and an attack on what he called the hypocrisy of the West and the warmongering of richer nations.
War solves nothing. War is primitive. Today's war is more primitive than Stone Age wars. The targets are not the fighters, the combatants. The target is the ordinary civilian, the women, children, and the old people. Whether it is terror attacks or military action, these are the victims.
The Non-Aligned Movement Summit is set to issue a statement demanding Baghdad's full compliance with UN resolutions and to scrap any weapons of mass destruction. And the statement is also expected to remind the U.S. of the need for multilateral, not unilateral, action. The Iraqi crisis is not the sole issue occupying the minds of non-aligned country leaders. The final statement of the summit will also condemn Israeli incursions into Palestinian territories. Roger Kendall, CCTV.
Iraq says it is studying the UN's demand to destroy its Banned al-Samud, two missiles, and wants the issue to be resolved without what it calls outside evil intervention. Meanwhile, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan warned that Iraq must destroy the missiles that are banned under UN resolutions. Feng Li has more.
General Hossam Mohammed Amin, chief of Iraq's liaison body with UN arms experts, said on Sunday that Iraq responded to Chief UN Weapons Inspector Hans Blix's letter to Iraqi authorities on Friday. Blix said in the letter that the UN had determined that the al-Samud missiles are banned and that Iraq must begin destroying the missiles by March the 1st.
We have sent a letter on 19th February in which we asked the MOVIC to dispatch a team of specialists and experts to discuss al-Samud 2 missile issue. We did not yet receive any response to our letter.
Also on Sunday, Iraq carried out a restricted missile firing test in the presence of a team of UN inspectors. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said on Sunday that he was confident Iraq would agree to destroy the banned missiles.
If they refuse to destroy it, the Council will have to take a decision on that. It is a decision for the Council, and I would not want to be drawn on that. But I don't see why they will not destroy it.
The al-Samud missiles exceed the 150-kilometer range limit set by the UN resolutions adopted at the end of 1991 Gulf War.
Thank you very much.
On CCTV.
France and Syria have reiterated their opposition to a new UN Security Council resolution on Iraq. French government spokesman Jean-Franco Copé says France is opposed to a new UN resolution as long as the weapons inspectors are making progress. French Foreign Minister Dominique de Villepin insisted the UN weapons inspectors should be allowed to continue in Iraq. Also on Sunday, Syrian Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister Farouk al-Sharaa said there was no reason for the UN to adopt a new resolution on Iraq. He also urged the U.S. government to help resolve the crisis peacefully, saying there was no time limit set by UN Security Council Resolution 1441 for the work of the inspectors. The Gulf Cooperation Council is sending part of its combined forces known as a Peninsula Shield to defend Kuwait, which could become the place for American and British troops to start a military strike against Iraq. Liu Ge has more about soldier deployment in the country vulnerable to Iraqi attack.
The largest contingent of soldiers so far from neighboring Gulf countries arrived in Kuwait on Sunday, as part of the security forces deployed in Kuwait's neighbors ahead of a possible U.S. attack on Iraq. And 3,000 ground troops, sailors and airmen from the United Arab Emirates have been deployed at a number of locations around Kuwait City. Kuwaiti Armed Force spokesperson Colonel Youssef Al-Mulla stressed that the UAE soldiers' role would be purely defensive.
The UAE forces are here to participate with the Kuwait Armed Forces to defend Kuwait. And this is agreed on by the ministers of the defense of the GCC country in the past 2 weeks, they have a meeting in Jeddah, and they approved for the Peninsula Shield to be in Kuwait, side by side with the Kuwait Armed Forces to defend Kuwait.
Al Mulla said that Bahraini troops and a frigate would arrive in Kuwait within the next few days. He also revealed that the full complement of personnel and equipment would be in place by the end of February. Eventually, it would comprise a battalion of mechanized infantry, two guided missiles destroyers with support vessels, and a squadron of Apache helicopter gunships, the spokesman said. And more than 70,000 U.S. troops are training in the Kuwait desert in preparation for a possible invasion of Iraq. On the other hand, Britain has committed around 30,000 troops to a possible assault on Iraq. Yoga, CCTV.
More news ahead on CCTV International. 257 people are killed in the devastating earthquake in the far west of China's Xinjiang. At least another 1,000 are hurt. And Japan appoints its new central bank chief, a reformer and a conservative who will be aiming to curb deflation.
In the name of peace, the United States will lead a coalition of the willing to disarm the Iraqi regime.
The death toll in the earthquake-stricken area in Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region has risen to 257, according to Xinhua News Agency. More than 1,000 others were injured. The earthquake is the most serious in the region since 1949. The earthquake, measuring 6.8 on the Richter scale, shook the area at 10 in the morning, Beijing time. More than 1,000 houses and school buildings collapsed in a village in Bachu County, the epicenter of the earthquake. Several other places, including Jiaxi County, Kashi County, Achuk County, and Market County, also felt strong tremors. The Red Cross Society of China has allocated 250,000 yuan, or some $31,000, to the disaster-stricken area. A spokesman for China Seismological Bureau said the earthquake-prone area suffered 10 quakes measuring 6 or above on the Richter scale in the period from 1996 to 98. 7 of these occurred in 1997. A chartered Cessna aircraft carrying an Afghan minister and 7 others has crashed into the sea west of Karachi, Pakistan. This is the second crash on Pakistani territory in less than a week. On board was Afghan Minister for Petroleum and Mines, Jana Muhammad Mahamadi. He had held talks in Pakistan at the weekend on the major pipeline project that would link Turkmenistan and Pakistan via Afghanistan. According to Star Air Aviation, which chartered the aircraft, others aboard the aircraft included an official of Pakistan's foreign ministry and Sun Changsheng, chief executive of a Chinese pipeline firm. Police in the South Korean city of Daegu have arrested 7 subway officials for their misconduct and negligence in last Tuesday's subway fire, which claimed 135 lives. Emergency arrests on Monday morning, the police of Daegu detained the 7 officials, but deferred the detention of another 3 people, including the arsonists, who are still hospitalized. According to the national news agency Yonhap News, the 2 drivers of the 2 burned-out subway trains were also arrested for failing to properly report the fire to the central control office. Police will also reportedly probe allegations that the management of the subway and officials of the Daegu Metropolitan Administration failed to inspect subway operations properly. He survived five attempts on his life, a kidnapping, a death sentence, 6 years in jail, and a decade in exile. After three unsuccessful runs for the South Korean presidency, his victory in 1997 marked the first peaceful transfer of power from a ruling to an opposition party in the country's history. Today, he officially ends his five-year term as the country's top leader. He is Kim Dae-jung. In his farewell address, Kim called on the nation to support his successor, Roh Moo-hyun. Shi Hong has this report.
When Kim Dae-jung took office 5 years ago, the Republic of Korea was in the depths of the Asian financial crisis. He engineered an economic miracle, dragging his country out of the economic meltdown and to prosperity faster than elsewhere in the region. For good measure, he picked up the 2000 Nobel Peace Prize for his sunshine policy of reconciliation with the country's northern neighbor, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Yet now he leaves office with his reputation tainted by family scandals and nuclear tensions once again flared on the Korean Peninsula. The 78-year-old Kim used his last day in office to call on Washington to hold one-on-one talks with Pyongyang to resolve the nuclear crisis. His view apparently differs from that of the Bush administration, which wants a multilateral resolution. Despite this, he held the U.S. military presence in his country as positive, arguing it acts as a regional stabilizer that should stay even if North and South are one day reunited. But his most important legacy has come under attack with the recent revelation that the Hyundai Business Group made illegal payments to Pyongyang prior to his historic 2000 summit with the DPRK leader Kim Jong-il. Kim Dae-jung has acknowledged that he had advanced knowledge of the nearly $190 million transfer and was forced to apologize. For a man who spent much of his life campaigning against government corruption and the cozy links between government and big business, an apology may not be enough to prevent his record from being blemished. Xiong, CCTV.
Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has formed a narrow coalition after his Likud party secured 61 votes in a 120-seat parliament, the Knesset. The Sharon-led Likud signed a coalition deal with the Shinui party early on Monday, following a similar agreement with the National Religious Party on Sunday. A former senior official at the Bank of Japan, a non-conservative, has been chosen as its new chief by Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi, according to media reports. The appointment of new bank governor is regarded as a crucial to fighting deflation, which has plagued the world's second largest economy for the past 3 years. Debbie Mason has more details.
Known as the Prince of the BOJ, Toshihiko Fukui has long been considered a front-runner for the job, and his likely appointment was reported in Japanese media on Monday. If the reports are confirmed, the 67-year-old will replace Masaru Hayami, who is retiring next month after 5 years. The choice of a new governor has been seen as a test of the leadership of Koizumi and also a key to whether the central bank will get tough in the fight against deflation. Hayami has persistently resisted the often growing pressures for the bank to do more because he believes that economic reforms are needed for Japan's recovery. Analysts said the appointment of Fukui meant it was unlikely there would be radical changes anytime soon.
He focuses very much on the need for asset reallocation at the macro level, and he's not particularly interested in unorthodox monetary policies such as purchases of equities or real estate or foreign security. So I think you'll see a great deal of continuity, essentially, with the BOJ's current policy, which means not too much change.
But Japanese stocks closed higher just ahead of the announcement on expectations that whoever got the job at the central bank would be a much-needed catalyst for change. Debbie Mason, CCTV.
Now let's check out the action on the stock markets. Japanese shares snapped a four-day losing streak on Monday following gains on Wall Street and hopes that an imminent change of leadership at the Bank of Japan would bring a policy shift favorable to stocks. Toshihiko Fukui, a policy conservative, was named new Bank of Japan governor after the markets closed. Fukui is considered unlikely to depart radically from the policies of his predecessor, but investors are hoping for new measures to tackle deflation. Other Asian share markets tacked Wall Street higher, but jitters over a possible war against Iraq capped the upside and supported oil and U.S. treasuries. Now for a closer look at the figures. Coming up next, a record drops coal is seized on the border of the U.S. and Mexico. 10 tons of marijuana are pulled off a truck trailer. And newcomer Norah Jones scoops a batch of creamies at the awards ceremony in New York. We have a few clips for you in the program.
What color do you see in your eyes? Is it gray? Blue? Or even red. You may see only one side of the story. CCTV 9 shows you the real China, revealing the whole spectrum of this fascinating country. CCTV 9, your first window on China.
Breaks, we'll keep a close watch. Worldwide Watch, every night at 7 p.m. Beijing time, only on CCTV International.
U.S. Customs Service officers seized a record haul of nearly 10 tons of marijuana from a tractor-trailer truck crossing the U.S. and Mexican border on Friday. The truck was on its way north from Mexico when the drug-sniffing dog alerted inspection officials to its cargo. Investigators say the truck, supposedly carrying computer circuits, was mostly filled with marijuana. The search team found 4,000 plastic-wrapped packages of marijuana inside the truck that bore California license plates. The roughly $9 million shipment is believed to be the largest amount of marijuana ever seized on America's southwest border. The truck driver was arrested by U.S. customs agents. Mellow-voiced newcomer Norah Jones dominated the 45th annual Grammy Awards at New York City's Madison Square Garden on Monday, winning 8 awards, including Album of the Year and Best New Artist. Debbie Misson has the hottest clips.
Miss Norah Jones!
Don't know why, Norah Jones!
Goes to Norah Jones.
By the end of the evening, Jones, 23, nominated personally for 5 awards, had received Golden Gramophone statuettes for Album of the Year, Best New Artist, Record of the Year for the single Don't Know Why, Best Pop Vocal Album, and Best Female Pop Vocal Album.
Thank you so much. I just want to say, in a time where this world is really weird, I feel really blessed and really lucky to have had the year I've had, so thank you. Catching
teardrops in my... She also performed her dreamy hit, Come Away With Me, during the telecast. Jones outdid the critics' other top tick, veteran rocker Bruce Springsteen, who won 3 Grammys for his album The Rising, influenced by 9/11. Grammy winners from 33 years ago, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel, who performed their 60s hit The Sound of Silence, were on hand to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award. People writing songs. Other highly nominated performers included Eminem, who took the prize for Best Rap Album, and country trio Dixie Chicks, who won 4 Grammys for work on the album entitled Home. Debbie Mason, CCTV.
cats, known for more their ability to curl up by the fire than for their sporting prowess, showed off their talents in the annual cat athletic meet in Japan. Or at least that was the idea. Feng Li explains.
While it is often said that you can't teach old dogs new tricks, with cats, teaching them anything can be a major headache. At least that's what the organizers of the cats athletics meet discovered in Tokyo on Sunday. At this cat park in the suburbs of Tokyo, cats of all shapes and shades challenged courses of backs, jump boards and race tracks. But when the mark was set and the gun was sounded, it took a lot of persuasion to get them past the goalposts. These events, meant to commemorate the official Cat Day in Japan, was nevertheless a success, said the organizers.
We had major trouble organizing this event together. You hope the cats will run one way, but they run the other. They just don't listen. On the other hand, these incidents are part of the fun and games of the event, and it's a laugh, and I hope people enjoy it for what it is.
Cats are extremely popular among the Japanese, especially because of the independent nature. But for cat trainers, there is little you can do to change their stubbornness. Cats will be cats, however hard you train them. Feng Li, CCTV.
Well, we remind you of the headlines. U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell wraps up his visit to Beijing, meeting top Chinese leaders Jiang Zemin and Hu Jintao. The non-aligned movement members speak up for the developing world and spoke out of their opposition to war in Iraq. 257 people are killed in an earthquake in northwest China's Xinjiang. At least 1,000 others are injured. And a new bank chief is named for Japan. The new boss has his work cut out, trying to stem the country's deflation problem. Well, that's the end of this edition of CCTV's Worldwide Watch. I'm Liao Hui in Beijing. Bye for now.